The Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where the truth comes to party. The left has never been so right or so sexy. The left just got a little bit louder on The Majority Report.
What happened to me?
That's right. Wow, we had quite a blockbuster day yesterday. It was our hard launch. And we had a lot of podcast downloads yesterday. This is the Majority Report. My name is Sam Cedar. We're streaming live at majority.fm every day at 11:30 a.m. Eastern. And it is a mad rush to get the show off the ground every morning. Dorsey stumbles in. Evan's trying to get the driver for this thing to hook up with that printer, and we got a new computer yesterday, and then the old computer doesn't connect to the internet, and then I'm yelling at my computer because I'm trying to set this thing up, and those idiots don't do the thing that they're supposed to do. But, right? They're idiots! All of them. All of them. They're all idiots. Everyone's an idiot. And but we're getting it together, and the podcast is rock solid. And we have now, ladies and gentlemen, now hopefully this is going to work. And if it doesn't, send us a tweet, right? You're monitoring the tweet, right, Dorsey? At Majority FM, or send us an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com if this doesn't work. I can't hear Dorsey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay, good.
Just tag your tweet with the hashtag.
Right. Okay. So we're monitoring at many different places. So if you want to sign up for a membership, you will find at the top of, yes, jiggle that wire to get Dorsey. There he is. I can hear him now. I can hear him now. If you want to become a member, you will find on the front page of majority.fm, up at the top there, a click through. It says become a member. I don't know how more explicit we can be on that. And you can go. There's multiple tiers. Should I read off the tiers? I probably should.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's do this. I will read. What's so funny?
I was just reading a tweet from Balanced Info. The Sam Cedar juggernaut has launched. I just like the word.
That's right. Actually, I forgot to include that in the on the become a member. It really should be become a member of the juggernaut. There are multiple tiers. I will go through them once, and then you know we'll just generally remind you to join. This is how we're going to finance the show. I mean, ultimately, we'll have advertising and sponsorship. We have one sponsor right now. That's Just Coffee at justcoffee.coop. Put majority in the coupon code box to get a 10% discount. My Nikki said the first positive thing she said to me in almost 6 months this morning. I love this coffee. This is great. And I was like, thank you. And then it just went on to just the normal litany of the problems. But that's not the point. The point is that the coffee made her happy. Maybe the coffee will make your significant other happy, if not you. It certainly made me happy, and the idea that I could actually get one brief moment of positive reinforcement at home this morning, Milo was just like, that's all she would do to me. She would just like, I'm like, you're going to lose your be nice star for the day. Oh, God. All right. So anyways, the tiers are you can become a majority reporter for $10. We should do a video, Dorsey.
Absolutely.
We should do a video. I'm not going to go through all the extra things. You always have access to all the after shows. Right now, we're not sequestering them. We probably will in the future. You'll have access to a Sammy Cam, but the Sammy Cam will be all access today after the for the post show. You'll have your choice of the classic Majority Report swag. Evan, right now, is sporting a Majority Report white trucker's hat. We have so few of those. That's available till supplies last. Then we'll replace it with something else. I'm not exactly sure what. That's for $10 a month. Breaks down to less than 50 cents a show. You'll get a monthly bonus Majority Report archive compilation of interviews or comedy bits. And you will also, this is the big thing. This thing, I think, is just going to blow your doors off. For all of you who are aware of the Bush Pardon series, you know, where the little Bush doll gets up and says, "Hey, I want to, I'm going to pardon all you torture victims. You're no longer having to be a torture victim. You're pardoned. Be free. Jetpack, engage." We're going to take those and personalize them. So you get a membership. And then, let's say you want to wish happy anniversary to your wife or to your folks or to your children or happy birthday, we will construct a personalized Bush video for you, load it up on YouTube, and you'll be able to send it to the ones you love. And then for $19 a month, you bump up, you become a Cedarista.
Ooh.
That's right. A full-on Cedarista. You get all the membership of before, and then you get a couple of DVDs choices. Or you, for $45 a month, you can become a dirty effing hippie. You get all of the benefits of the lower tiers, but I record your outgoing voicemail, and then maybe we'll throw in another DVD. I don't know. We'll see. Then you can, for $100 a month, you can become a professional leftist. A Majority Report sanctioned professional leftist. You get all the benefits of being a dirty fucking hippie, but with the increased chance that George Soros will send you money. Not a guarantee, but always the you want to increase your odds. That's the way it works in business. And for $250 a month, of course, you'll become a super Marxist. And you'll get all the benefits of being a professional leftist. But in the event of the revolution, when it comes, you'll be the last against the wall. So it buys you extra time before you are shot when we succeed in promoting the revolution. And for $500 a month, a $500 a month subscription, we've got to check with an economist. This could be the best value. We've got to check with an economist. You actually become a French person, just you become French, and you receive all the benefits of a super Marxist. But then, of course, there's the City of Lights, the fresh bread, the romance, the culture, wonderful art of your new cultural identity of French hood. You can buy that. That's shocking. Shocking. And then finally, our largest tier, our highest tier of membership, one of the most exclusive, for $1,000 a month, you can become Sam Cedar. We probably will only allow like four or five different people to do this. You will get all the benefits, of course, of a French membership, but you will actually be me. And you will move in with my family. You will host the show. You will pay my bills. You will be me. You will get my entire collection of plaid clothing and my two pairs of pants, which I rotate, fortunately for you. Not complicated system. They're the same type of pants. Derivation on a Carhartt. I've upgraded to a different type of work pant. And I will return 3 weeks over the course of the year, probably 1 week at a time from wherever I'm living. Mexico, whatnot, to spell you, to just give you a little break. But if we get enough people who sign up for this, I may not have to come back at all. We just rotate everybody through. So there you have it, folks. There is the different options you have of becoming a Majority Report member. Yes, it is overwhelming choice, But if you head over to the site, you can join up. You can help support this program. We will, of course, be having more and more guests and interviews with bloggers. Today we have Atrios. Tomorrow we're going to have Digby. Next week Ari Berman will come on to talk about his book. We're hoping to have the guys who wrote we're going to have more and more. We'll have people like Ariana on. We'll have maybe some politicians, specific politicians. I don't really give a shit to hear it from most politicians, frankly, because I know what they're going to say. And any of the ones who I want to sort of ask a difficult question of, they're not going to come on this program anyways. You know, that's the price you pay by they know coming on who you are. And maybe someday we'll be sort of undeniable. But the people who I'd want to sort of put into a box, put into a corner and ask them a difficult question, they're not going to come on to this anyways. But we will hear from comedians and musicians, and it'll be great. Or it'll end tomorrow. So it's up to you. Support our sponsors, and if you can join a membership, join. And if you can't, if you really can't, contact me once we sequester the other stuff, and we'll see what we can work out for you. Do a couple of quick stories here. The TSA, you know, there's a lot of talk. Apparently, a lot of people are not terribly appreciative of this new TSA screening device, which basically can see you naked. I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, of all the civil liberties that we're losing, the ability to walk through the airport without some moron looking at me naked, I'm not terribly worried about that. We're not moron. It doesn't matter. I'm not judging the guy who works the security thing, but I don't. You know, what's really more of an issue to me is things like our president having the ability to assassinate people based on a designation that he comes up with. Just unilaterally. Not necessarily on a whim, but he could do it on a whim. He'd have to justify it by saying, I designate this person someone who I would want to assassinate. That's concerning to me. Things like wiretapping, warrantless wiretapping, that's concerning to me. Things like capturing all my information, that's concerning to me. Things like detaining American citizens without any type of habeas corpus, that's concerning to me. But somebody taking a naked photo of me at the airport, I'm not terribly thrilled with that. But I can understand that some people are. But it is sort of amazing that people get so riled up by that. Now, I understand. This isn't... I don't think this is going to prevent much. You apparently can shove stuff up your orifices that will not be seen. You can put stuff in your luggage, and more often than not, it's going to go on there. So it may be ineffective, it may be inexpensive, and it may be one of those situations where somebody on some type of appropriations committee, who is it, Joe Lieberman? Is Joe Lieberman in charge of this committee? That would be a shocker. The Homeland Security Committee? I don't know. Maybe, you know, one of those things like, somebody's cousin is producing these machines, or they're going to be used for more nefarious purposes down the future. But for the time being, I'm not sure I get it. Are there unreasonable TSA people? Yes. You show up at one airport, you can't bring shampoo. You show up at another, it doesn't make a difference. Go out to L.A., I can bring, you know, whatever I want, come back, no reason. Yes. Yes, there are problems with the security. But, you know, and then, of course, the right wing is like, this is a classic example of government not being able to get it together. Dude, I can't figure out the PayPal thing. And I call, and the responses I get are as if I'm talking to, it's just shocking. And those private companies that have your credit card information, How often does that show up online? How often do I get a message from my credit card company? Not to be alarmed. Don't worry. We've had a slight security breach. 450,000 people's credit card names and addresses and numbers have been inadvertently left on a server that someone has accessed. Not to worry. We're just going to send you a new credit card if we get around to it. It's not just government that fucks up. People fuck up. Entities, institutions screw up all the time and have good or bad employees. I mentioned yesterday, you know, I've lost the name of the guy now. Bjorn Lundberg, is that what it was? Lauren Lundberg? No, it wasn't Dolph Lundgren. No, it was the climate denier who's now out with the sort of like climate denial, you know, denial light. I now believe in climate denial. I do think maybe Americans, you know, I mean, excuse me, humans contribute to it, as well as Americans, obviously. But I just think that Al Gore's shrill. So buy my book instead. And I can make you feel good about it. I can tell you to do the exact same things he is, but I'll say it in a way that will sell my books, as opposed to selling somebody else's books. Meanwhile, for those of you climate change denialists, and I think Jon Stewart actually has sort of crapped on this whole climate change thing. Because it's a cottage industry. Because scientists are trying to make money off it. Like those scientists in India. Right? There's such a huge market in India for climate change climate change. Yeah, India's right on the forefront. India may endure floods 30% more severe in magnitude and heightened drought conditions by 2030 due to climate change, the government said. This is the Environment Minister, Jairim Ramesh, said. Climate change report prepared by 220 scientists in the country. Yes, I imagine in that emerging economy, if you're a guy coming out talking about climate change, they really reward you for that.
All those climate-based products.
Right. Climate change is just going to happen in India anyways. Because remember we had snow last year? There's no climate change here. Could you crack open the window a little bit, please? A little bit more in the studio? Because without our heat on, it's in the 60s in mid-November in New York.
Surprise, surprise.
Insurers gave the U.S. Chamber of Commerce $86 million to oppose Obama's health care plan in 2009. So, I mean, if you had any questions as to whether or not the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was simply a slush fund for industry to fight whatever legislation they want, well, you don't need to wonder anymore. But I think we already knew that. U.S. Chamber of Commerce has nothing to do with business. It's simply a lobby group. It's simply a money laundering facility for international corporate interests and American corporate interests. So now as the music comes on to signify our break, I will be back in just a minute with Atrios here on the Majority Report. We'll be right back. And we are back. What happened, Dorsey? Oh, you needed a video, minute for the video? I will talk slowly as I introduce Duncan Black, a.k.a. Atrios. Oh, do we have that thing? Oh, we can't play that music? Why? We'll figure it out. Duncan, welcome to Majority Report 2.0.
Thank you very much. It's been so long.
I know. Now, I understand from your post from last week that you didn't like the way you sounded on that first show.
I think I was really bad on that first show, but I got a little bit better over time.
I thought it was impossible to tell how bad you were because, fortunately, the hosts were also horrible.
I thought I was worse, but anyway, we don't have to have that fight.
Right. No, that, I'll save that for the fight that I have with Janine. when she comes on to the program. All right, so folks, I got to imagine that most of you who are listening have been to, by now, to atreos.blogspot.com, the Uber blog, in my estimation, Eschaton. And, Duncan, I have to say that I have found over the past, I guess I've been reading you since 2002, maybe, late 2003 or something.
Yeah, I've been doing it since 2002. It's been a long time. I'm tired.
Well, yes, and I have to say that you are have always been the one of the most measured and rational people I read online, and maybe that's just because you write very concisely. But there's definitely a tone these days that is a little bit more. Angry and frustrated, and I certainly can understand why, and I share that. Specifically, it has to do with the seeming, not just inability, but lack of desire by our leaders in this country to do anything about or even to recognize the massive economic crisis we're involved in.
Well, that's it. Our elites, our leaders, politicians, media figures, et cetera, seem to understand when the stock market goes down that that's a bad thing. But they seem unable to comprehend that 9.6% unemployment extended over a long period of time is an absolute catastrophe. This is a tremendous catastrophe that's happening. And instead of talking about that, we're talking about deficits and problems that are 30 years off maybe instead of the catastrophe that is right now. And it's truly depressing.
It is depressing, and it spans. We're talking about unemployment, which I think is sort of the linchpin of this thing, but we're also talking about people losing their homes as a function of unemployment, or as a function of bad loans that they took out that they can't repay, or fraud. And as this fraud sort of works its way through the system, it does seem like there's just a tremendous amount of the only. Sort of consistent principle that seems to be operating is we cannot let anybody in the industry lose anything.
No, that seems to be it. No solutions that will in any way harm the financial industry, the industry which got us here in the first place, we should remember, is even possible. So completely sensible solutions like bankruptcy cramdown, which is just the code word for letting primary residential mortgages be dealt with in bankruptcy court, like vacation home mortgages can be dealt with, have just been rejected by Congress. And, you know, that would have done a lot to not just help homeowners, but also help the economy. You can't have a healthy economy when you have millions of foreclosures every year.
Now, just to be clear, this would have basically allowed, and this was a fight that took place, I guess, in 2009 or early 2009, late 2000.
In the spring of 2009, yes.
And this would allow essentially a bankruptcy judge to basically say, okay, I'm going to protect you from your creditor, the bank, to a home.
Right, and exactly. And you could set up the law in various ways, instruct bankruptcy judges exactly where they would rank mortgage debt and what kinds of workouts the judge would be allowed to do. It's not that everyone would suddenly get a free home. It's that the bankruptcy judge would be instructed to compare or include the mortgage debt along with other debts that somebody in bankruptcy might have and figure out exactly the proper and necessary a payment schedule to deal with that. So it's not an issue of suddenly wiping out everyone's mortgage debt. It's simply including it with other debt that people have.
And we're not even talking. I mean, this concept is not anything that isn't in practice in just about every other situation that somebody or an entity goes into bankruptcy. If you're a corporation, you go into bankruptcy and you owe the bank money on your facility, you can get bankruptcy protection from that.
Yes, in a funny little joke, I guess, or a bit of irony, however you want to think about it, the Mortgage Bankers Association, they went into bankruptcy and with their primary office building. So yes, it's basically residential primary mortgage debt, which is excluded from bankruptcy court, but essentially nothing else is.
All right. Well, I got a couple stories here I want to go through, and I just want to get your take on this. The House apparently is considering, and it's really shocking. The House is considering an override of the notary bill veto. This, of course, is that bill that there's been. Tell us a little bit about all the different elements that we're finding out about the fraud that took place in the, not just the writing of these mortgages, but in the recording of these mortgages, how MERS plays a role in some of this. Give us a brief rundown of that world once a house supposedly makes its way into foreclosure.
Right. So the mortgage industry, the banking industry, they set up a system called MERS, which is basically an electronic system with, you know, little oversight, few employees, no regulation, that essentially bypassed the method of recording property transactions that we've had for hundreds of years. This is old stuff. This is not new stuff. And let banks essentially just punch a couple numbers into the computer and record when they have sold a mortgage. And the reason they did this was they wanted to speed up the process of securitizing mortgages. That is, when Bank of America wants to sell your mortgage to Chase, and then Chase decides to bundle it up and sell it to a bunch of investors, and et cetera, they wanted to have a very quick system for doing that, bypassing the old, boring, stodgy way of preserving correct property records that we've had.
When you got to go down to the county office or the local.
Right, you have to file the title, you have to pay a fee, and they just essentially bypassed this. They said, well, we're just going to ignore that entire system, ignore the legal framework that's been operating for years, and we're just going to do our own system because it's quick and easy and we don't have to pay any money. And, if there's some mistakes along the way, well, who cares?
Now, let me ask you this. Was there any entity that could have stepped in and said, hey, you can't do this? I mean, I guess theoretically it would be the county, right? But the county doesn't have the enforcement regime to deal with what Bank of America is doing online. Essentially.
Yeah, I've actually been a bit puzzled why municipalities haven't been suing over over fees that they should have received, because all these things are a little transaction you have with your local government. You pay a modest fee, $50, $100, whatever it is, to conduct these transactions. It's one way these municipalities actually make money. And so the MERS system, deprived these municipalities of money. So why they haven't been suing, I'm actually not sure.
Huh. All right. So, this MERS system basically was extremely sloppy. It bypassed the sort of traditional record keeping. And so how does that relate to what ultimately happens with the foreclosures, outside of the fact that the transference of these loans and these mortgages have not been done according to the law?
Right. So what's been going on is people actually figured out that if you do not transfer these things properly, what happens is the mortgage essentially gets separated from the note. Or another way to put that is, while if they fail to transfer these things correctly, the owners of the mortgage essentially give up their right to foreclosure. Now, you still owe them money, but they can't come after your house legally. That is, so Bank of America can say, oh, you own your mortgage. And I say, well, that's true. Yes, I do. And Bank of America says, therefore, we can take your house. And actually, no, if the records were not transferred properly, if things were not done in an orderly fashion as is legally required, then actually Bank of America can sue me. They can try to get me to pay my debt, but they can't take my house from me.
Right, because they basically don't have that as collateral anymore.
Correct. It becomes an unsecured loan.
And so this notion of this bill about out-of-state notaries.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that. That basically, did that have the similar was that part of that MERS process?
Well, I don't think people are entirely sure. I think there's this bill that passed Congress a couple months back, which was notionally about sort of federalizing notary standards or making it easier for notarized documents to be accepted in another state. So, basically setting up a standard so that if a document is notarized in Pennsylvania, it would be legitimate in New York. Okay, it's quite possible this bill had innocent origins. That is, maybe it was in some sense a decent idea, that it had nothing to do with all this stuff. But right when it passed, fortunately, some people actually looked at it and realized that this could be a backdoor way of legitimizing this MERS system, essentially saying, well, we're just going to take all these documents as notarized as acceptable and get rid of, all sorts of standards, essentially immunize the perpetrators after the fact. I talked to a couple of staffers in Congress and a couple of other people, and it was one of those things where nobody was quite sure. Like, nobody could actually say, would this succeed in doing this? But there were genuine concerns, and fortunately the Obama administration vetoed it.
Right, and now they're talking about attempting an override of that veto. This is according to the Wall Street Journal.
I'm not sure if that's real or not. There seems to be a sense that this is just the House asserting its authority, that nobody really thinks they're going to get enough votes in the House and the Senate to override Obama's veto. But this has to do
now,
with the fact
bill,
that...
Now, let me ask you this. This bill, this story in the Wall Street Journal that I saw today that's talking about the override of that bill, is that essentially the same story that you linked to the other day on CNBC saying that there was going to be an attempt to sort of retroactively legalize MERS?
That was a blog post on CNBC, which I wasn't sure of the legitimacy of it. I only linked to it because it was on CNBC, and so that's an authority.
And I will say in your defense that you did say, not sure if this is true.
Right. So that was some warning that maybe there was some legislation being written for the lame duck Congress that would actually deal with MERS. I haven't seen any other evidence of that, so it was one of those warning things, and since it was in a big mainstream outlet like CNBC, I thought I'd highlight it, but I'm certainly not sure. But, we'll see what the House does today. All signs point to that this is not a legitimate attempt to override the veto. It's just the House asserting its authority to do so if it wants to.
Okay.
This has to do with the fact that the President first kind of said this was a pocket veto, which is a kind of veto which can't be overridden, and it's the kind of veto that you can do if Congress is out of session. But Congress was still kind of in session, so then he submitted it as a genuine veto, and this could be just the House acknowledging that fact and saying, well, we can override this if we want to, but we won't.
Now, I got two more stories I want to touch on. One is that there's apparently state attorney generals are working together, many of them, and begun negotiating with big banks across the country, essentially big lenders of big who have a lot of mortgages, and they're, I guess, working out some type of fund that would compensate borrowers who can prove that their home was foreclosed improperly.
Yeah, it's unclear what that story is about. I mean, the attorneys general have gotten together to try to deal with this problem, investigate the situation, see how much fraud closure has been going on with banks foreclosing on people without documents, banks foreclosing on people who shouldn't be in foreclosure at all, banks just essentially foreclosing on everybody left and right. And so they've been investigating. So a story did drop yesterday about a possible deal being set up. Now, again, with that story, the sourcing wasn't very clear, and it somewhat contradicted testimony yesterday by one of those attorneys general who didn't make it sound like the investigation was winding down anytime soon, said the investigation would be months and years, and it wasn't the case that the banks could just write themselves a get-out-of-jail-free card, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that homeowners have to prove that they've been foreclosed upon improperly seems to me to have it backwards. I mean, shouldn't you have to prove that you have to that you have the ability to foreclose upon someone properly, as opposed to have to argue that you've been foreclosed upon improperly? I mean, shouldn't the burden be on the person who's trying to take your house?
Well, I mean, this is what has happened, especially in places like Florida, where they set up what's called the rocket docket to ram foreclosures through as fast as possible. And essentially, many of the judges have given all the burden on the homeowner, which is absurd. You're talking about a bank just asserting the right to take people's homes, often without adequate documentation. And the presumption is generally with the person claiming the right to steal your home. And I'm sure plenty of these foreclosures are, the homeowner is not making payment. But if you open a system up like that, you're just opening it up to fraud, even if what we think of as the big banks aren't engaging in deliberate fraud, although they might be. That opens the door to anybody basically walking into the court and asserting the right to take people's homes.
Right. Right. And finally, one more. Roger Altman,
yes,
founder of Evercore Partners, Inc., and a former deputy treasury secretary to, I think, Bill Clinton, is the leading candidate to replace Lawrence Summers. Do you know anything about this guy? Can it get worse than Lawrence Summers? Does it make a difference at this point?
I don't know enough about this guy to have much of an opinion. I mean, he was in Treasury early on in the Clinton administration. He left sort of with some minor scandal having to do with one of the many Clinton-era investigations. But I really don't know.
Did he send out too many Christmas cards or something like that?
Yeah, it was something like that, yeah.
He breached the Christmas card quota?
But I don't know enough about him. I really know nothing about sort of where he stands in the ideological spectrum, he has been a creature of Wall Street, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's overly friendly to Wall Street. John Corzine was a creature of Wall Street and still a fairly decent guy, so
right.
It's possible, but I just don't know.
All right, one last question, too. There's a move in the House by some of the Republican nut jobs to
sure.
Require the or to change the mandate of the Fed to just being like an inflation watchdog and no way trying to create employment. I read these stories and I'm just like, this is just astonishing that the Democrats, frankly, either can't or won't or don't want to make hay of the fact that, how is it the Republicans actually go out and say, like, we need to have less effort to create jobs?
It's absolutely mind-boggling. I don't know why there isn't a focus on jobs. I don't know why politicians, both Republican and Democrat, frankly, aren't getting in front of the cameras and saying, we need more jobs, we need more jobs, we need more jobs. I mean, there was very little of that even in the election season, the campaign season that we just had. People were running on very abstract issues, but not running on the concrete ones. They were running on the deficit and spending and they were running on defending Medicare. Republicans were, strangely. But other than that, there was very little running on jobs from either side. And this is the great mystery. This is the problem. I mean, the two big problems facing people in this economy right now are, one, lack of jobs, and two, that people are getting thrown out of their homes. And you would think that politicians could maybe earn a few votes by dealing with those issues, but there's just a tremendous lack of leadership.
And so tell me, what of this idea of the Fed, of changing the Fed's mandate?
Well, I mean, it's not absolutely insane in the sense that, it's other central banks work that way, where they focus on their only mandate is inflation. So I don't think it's an insane idea. I'd have to think it through more to know whether I agreed with it. But as politics, it's absolutely absurd that Republicans feel they can get on the TV and say, as you said, we should be doing less to fight unemployment, and that seems to be okay with people. That's acceptable.
All right. Well, Duncan Black, he's obviously an economist with a PhD, ladies
That's
and
true.
Gentlemen. And I wanted to ask you about the terrifying moment I had at 1:30 in the morning about someone sending me an email about hyperinflation. But hopefully that can wait until the next time you're on.
Okay.
If not, in the meantime, I'll just get my freeze-dried food ready. And
buy some overpriced gold.
I'm going to forget the gold, man. You can't eat gold. All right, it's all freeze-dried food, and I'm learning to ninja stars. That's okay. How you take out little like chipmunks, which you're gonna have to eat on like kerosene fire. But I hope you'll join us again, Atrios. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
It was good talking to you. We'll be I guess we're not gonna take a break. We'll just say goodbye to Duncan.
All right, goodbye.
Bye. Duncan Black, folks, I should have probably mentioned up at the front that the guy is an economist, and he used to teach, I guess you call it economics, in a college setting. And giving us a rundown on all the economic stories, I had more. Oh, this is a fun story. It really is. You start to feel like you're living in an alternate universe. Washington Post, I can't even tell if this is actually like written sort of sarcastically or that bipartisan White House meeting, President Obama. It really is shocking. The bipartisan White House meeting President Obama had hoped to hold this week to discuss tax cuts and other matters has been postponed, officials said Tuesday. The postponement, whatever the reason, was a bad omen for Obama, who was counting on the summit to start turning around his political fortunes. It appeared to signal that Republicans are less anxious than the White House to launch a new era of bipartisanship. And it was a stark example of Obama's diminished ability to get members of Congress to bend to his will. What? What?
A prince on the bridge of a castle moat heard lay, lay.
I honestly think that maybe for the rest of the show, we're just going to play the soundtrack from The Sound of Music. This is like, what fantastical world are we living in? I mean, seriously? This guy has to go on 60 Minutes and an interview with Peter Baker on in the New York Times 3 weeks before the election and say, like, yeah, they're going to be more responsible. David Axelrod says the same thing on TV. Now that they've won, they're going to be more responsible. They're going to come and sit down with us.
Come with me.
And we're going to sit down and we're all going to eat. We're going to eat marshmallow mountaintops. And the Republicans who are now more responsible are going to sit down with us and work out a negotiated, fair, Solomonic split.
What we'll see.
We'll be able to give tax cuts to the middle class. And then they'll say, okay, we don't need to have extensions for rich people on their tax cuts. I just don't get it. And so then, on top of the initial sort of political hit he takes for saying this stuff, then there's this round of stories saying, like, look how weak he is. He can't get John Bonair to show up at a meeting. Can't imagine what John Bonair could be doing. There's only two things that John Bonair could possibly be doing now. This is one. This is the other. Right? Am I right? What time is it when John Bonair is not crying? Tea time, right? Unbelievable. This is so embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And the only, like, you know, sort of encouraging sign that I'm seeing, and unfortunately, they only seem to do this, they only seem to get any type of spine. No, I understand. I mean, I understand this to a certain extent. Let me preface it by saying this, is that you're starting to see some Democratic lawmakers, some progressives, starting to at least speak out a little bit more aggressively. You know, like Wiener did during the healthcare debate. And I guess it adds a little clarity when you lose a big chunk of your the Democratic caucus and you're no longer in the majority. Or if, you know, you're Bernie Sanders and you're like, okay, I've been playing team ball. Guess what? Didn't work. So you're starting to say, like, Jan Shan, help me out here. Say your name. Shan Minkowski.
Yes.
I didn't say it right. She came out with a deficit reduction plan of her own, which, of course, had a lot more military cuts and protected Social Security. Sanders came out with something, you know, was more aggressive in getting out there and hammering the deficit commission. And Representative Joe Crowley from New York, three other progressives. This is fantastic. Donna Edwards of Maryland, who I think is going to run for the head of the Progressive Caucus, and I hope she does. Tim Ryan of Ohio and Linda Sanchez of California. If I'm not mistaken, Tim Ryan was one of our fighting Dems. I'm not sure about that. Basically sent a letter to John Boehner and Mitch McConnell saying, if your conference, being the Republicans, wants to deny millions of Americans affordable health care, your members should walk that walk. Basically sending a message to Andy Harris, telling Andy Harris what he told the American public, was that if you go for 28 days without health care insurance, it doesn't matter. Why?
If you go to an emergency room, they can't turn you away. They're going to treat you.
Take your five kids down there, Andy Harris. It doesn't matter, because just because you don't have health insurance doesn't mean you don't have health care. Take your five kids down to the emergency room. We're only talking 28 days. You can't go 28 days. Why? You have all this health care coverage. I mean, after all, you told the American public these very words not just a matter of months ago.
You go to an emergency room, they can't turn you away. They're going to treat you.
There you go, Andy Harris. If you go to an emergency room, they can't turn you away. Take your kids down there. So they go on to write, you cannot enroll in the very kind of coverage you want for yourselves and then turn around and deny it to Americans who don't happen to be members of Congress. Good. Now, of course, this is a little bit theater. But good. Make the Republicans pay for their hypocrisy, even if it's on a rhetorical level. Meanwhile, talking about lack of accountability, how's that whole thing about not looking backward, about turning the page working out for you? How's that whole thing? We're not going to impeach people because the American public wants us to work on their business. We know, because when 2010 comes, we're going to...
Hey, what happened?
Whoops. Well, if we had congressional committees that were looking into things like lying to the American public to bring us into a war, and if we had congressional committees that looked into things like torture and, warless wiretapping and, just a whole series of just blatant disregard for our civil liberties, and, you know, never mind the actual destruction and politicization of, like, things like the Department of Justice, and if we were actually to look at how, like, you know, how did it happen that our entire regulatory structure made it possible that every vegetable had to be recalled because it's giving people, you know, E. coli, then we could actually endanger our ability to maintain the control of Congress, which, of course, is my number one agenda. Guess that didn't work out for you so well. But at least now we can now go through the embarrassing and demoralizing and loss of moral high ground that has been the watermark, the watershed of the basically, I mean, what was the, you know, America will become a beacon, a shining light on a hill for the rest. That was, what was that? That said, somebody said that a couple hundred years ago, right? Well, New York Times has a editorial that actually falls very closely along the lines of something that Glenn Greenwald wrote the day before. They basically wrote that the British government has decided to pay former former detainees at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, tens of millions of dollars in compensation and conduct an independent investigation into its role in the mistreatment of prisoners. Well, you know what they should do? I am glad they're doing this independent investigation, because when the British government opened up Guantanamo Bay and was in control of those prisoners the American government. It was the American government that did that. Yes, I'm sorry. My bad. Oh, yes, quite. Quite. Oh, if I had read on, I would have found the United States still operates Guantanamo. Now, remember how back in the day we heard from all the right-wingers how, you know, we have a special relationship with Great Britain. They're not like those French who have made it impossible for me to enjoy deep-fried potatoes. I guarantee we should do a random rush this afternoon, right after the show. And Dorsey points to his cue card that he's written to himself to remind himself. I'm sure there's going to be 1 hour where Russia's going, these British, but it won't even come up. In July, Prime Minister David Cameron, I think he's a conservative, said there would be an independent investigation into Britain's role in the mistreatment of detainees. Just so embarrassing. 3 years ago, Canada apologized and paid compensation to Mahar Arar, a Canadian torture victim. Huh. Following an investigation in how the Royal Canadian Mounted Police handed him over to the Americans. And then he got shoved on some Learjet that, you know, was rented from some business, American business, some CIA front, or, you know, the way they do it. It's not really a CIA front. It's, you know, some company that, you know, we do business with them. You know, professional courtesy. That we could take this guy, put a potato sack over his head and drop him off in, like, I think it was Syria, and have his balls attached to a car battery. Professional courtesy. Professional courtesy. You know, the investigation that came out of our sending that guy to have his balls electrified by the Syrians showed that, oh, wait, I'm sorry, we didn't do an investigation into that. Well, when we apologized to him, we gave him a wonderful muffin basket. What? Oh, we didn't apologize to him. No muffin basket. I'll tell you something. There's nothing like getting a muffin basket after your testicles have been attached to a car battery. Indeed, some of the Obama administration's biggest legal victories have come in shielding Bush-era officials by getting lawsuits brought by victims with credible claims of kidnapping and torture thrown out of court on specious secrecy grounds. Hey, Barry, it's me. Just want to thank you very much. Buy my book. Buy my book. You'll see I gave you a special kudos. In my kudos section, that was granted 75% of that kudos section I lifted from Tommy Frank's autobiography, memoirs. But most of the people he thanked, I want to thank too. So thank you, sir. Jetpack, engage. Look at me. Damn right. Hook them up to the car batteries. Let's see what this mofo's got to say. What are they going to do? Muffin basket? F that. Send them a copy of my book. COD. This is encouraging somewhat. The new UN torture expert urged the United States on Tuesday to conduct a full investigation into torture under the Bush administration and prosecute offenders as well as senior officials who order it.
I don't think so.
Naga happen. Right? Who was it? Who said that?
It was Danny Carvey who was doing Bush Sr.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There you go. We should clip that because that's not going to happen. Juan Ernesto Mendez told Reuters that he also hoped to visit Iraq to probe a very widespread practice of torture. Cue John Bolton to bring out his mustache and talk about how this guy is biased. He is biased against torture because he himself was a former torture victim. So anything he says about torture, of course, is completely discredited because he was tortured himself. He's got an axe to grind against people who torture. So we cannot trust him to perform this investigation, can we? When you see John Bolton or some right-winger make this claim, which is inevitable, unless they just don't talk about it. Although I do think they'll take this opportunity to show how the UN is completely... We can't trust the UN. They hire torture victims to investigate tortures. That's like letting the fox guard the hen house. Or, in this case, like the hen, the victims of the fox, prosecute the fox. But you can't possibly have a torture victim investigate torture. And he has the audacity, apparently, or this reporter does from Reuters Legal, the audacity to mention that under the UN Convention Against Torture, ratified by the United States in 1994, that's a long time ago. See, that was back in a different era. That was pre 9/11. Almost 1994, 2001, 2003. That was a long time ago. Before laws were written on paper. Ratified by the United States in 1994, the government must conduct, quote, a prompt and impartial investigation where there is, quote, reasonable ground to believe that an act of torture has been committed. Let's see. Page blankety blank of George Bush's memoir, Decision Points. Damn right, I said. Waterboard him. That might constitute reasonable ground to believe. Yeah, like I said, this Mendez, he's 65 years old. He was tortured by Argentina's military dictatorship in the mid-70s. I think, actually, coincidentally, ironically, that we installed. It was very intense. They gave me 5 sessions with cattle prods in less than 24 hours. How many times did we waterboard KSM? Was it 183? This guy's biased. This guy's biased. I'm sorry. We can't. No, this guy's biased. The guy's biased. You know. We'll talk about this tomorrow, because I get a phone call to wrap up the end of the show, to make. Because I'm a busy person, folks, and I can't save all my phone calls, just for when I'm off air. I need to make the calls sometimes when I'm on air. Hold on, stay with me here, because... wait a second. Let me pull this for 1 second while I do this, because I don't want anybody to get any ideas. I hope this is the right number. You know, this is not... Let's try this. Folks, stick around after the break for the... IM session. Oh, wait a second. Hold on. Hello? You there? Hello? No? Hold on. Stick around after the break for the IM session. No, not yet, because I'm listening to her answer the phone. You can IM me at, what is it? Majority FM? She's not picking up the phone. She's not picking up the phone. It's just not her number. Oh, I forgot to tell her that it was coming from. She thinks it's a wrong number. Wait, this phone's not even ringing. Wait, I got the wrong number. All right, so, well, let me just say this. After the show, we're going to have the IM thing. It's not sequestered, but we're going to have the Sammy Cam, folks. So if you head up, if you look at the, if you look at the, did I dial the wrong number? No. If you look at, all right, I guess we didn't, I don't know what happened. Did I dial the wrong number? I did. I dialed the wrong number. Stupid. Sorry, guys. Whose number was that? Who the hell's number was that I was just calling? Oh, I called a combination of her number and Duncan's number. Wow, this is great, great, great podcast. This is a quality podcast. Stick around afterwards, and I will take your IMs at Cedar MVS. You're going to want to stick around for this call if I can actually complete it. We haven't gotten the system down quite yet. We got to do that story about the heart attack restaurant and this bill out of the house. It's just sick. It's ridiculous. I don't know how it is that some bills can't make it out of the house, but when it comes time to repeal the Bush tax cuts. Hi, hold on. Hey, can I put you on the show? Okay, hold on. We don't have a system where we can do that simultaneously. Are you there?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Silverman making her first appearance on the new Majority Report.
Oh, my gosh. Hi.
Hi. Did you not know I was going to call?
No, I did.
Oh. I was trying to play that off. Sarah, what are you doing?
Oh, sorry. I'll pretend you didn't just text and say, I'm about to call you. I almost fell back to sleep.
Yeah, well, it is already almost past noon. What do you mean you almost fell back to sleep? You woke up already today?
Yeah, I woke up. I did so many things. And then I
did you take a Yiddish accent course?
A what accent?
Yiddish.
I did so many things.
I woke up this morning. Did you go to you went to go,
you know, Sam, somebody told me that there's a word in Yiddish, like they have words for everything, and someone said that there's a word for, there's a word that means having diarrhea at the mall.
How could that possibly be? At the mall?
Well, you know, maybe it means like at the outdoor bazaar or something, or the...
Right.
Shopping area that has lots of stores.
The Shettle Square. Having diarrhea. Yeah. He had diarrhea at the Shettle Square.
Yeah.
The Shettle Square. Yeah, I don't know. Shettle? Do you know what the word is?
No, I don't remember it.
You don't remember the word? Or is it, are you making this up? Is that true?
No, I'm not making it up. It was, I can tell you who told me.
All right, well.
Sasha.
Sasha Baron Cohen?
No. that's like, it was Nicholson. Jack Nicholson? No, Steve Nicholson. No, Elon Gold's wife.
I don't know.
Elon Gold's wife, Sasha Gold. All right.
There you go. All right, so well, we know one thing that you did this morning.
What?
Whatever that word is in Yiddish.
No, I don't even think I peed this morning.
Oh, all right. Well, this is, all right, we've gotten that out of the way. Did you go to see a show last night?
Oh, my God. I saw Colin Quinn's one-man show.
How was it? This is the one that's directed by Jerry Seinfeld and that Matthew is shooting, like, all the promotional videos for.
It's amazing. It's so good. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's a perfect show.
Well, tell us more. This can be the cultural offering of the week for me.
It's called Long Story Short, and it's the story of all of history, but like so hilarious.
All of history? It sounds like a Jackie Mason thing.
It does sound like a Jackie Mason thing, but it's slightly different accent,
right,
and funnier. And it was so good. It's one of those things, I mean, it's obviously great for everyone. It was like just nonstop laughs and so funny and so smart. But usually, Colin is the one exception for me. Like, usually smart comedy, I'll just watch it and I'll go like, oh, yeah, that's funny. That's clever. Yeah, that's good. You know what I mean? But, like, he's smart and funny. His jokes are smart, but you bet it's belly laughs, though. And it's just like, I just want, like, every high school to take a field trip to watch this show, too, because it's just, like, it's so good and it's so...
I think I smell somebody starting a foundation to promote.
Me?
Yeah, to promote high school students to go see Conklin's show.
I know, it's such an obvious, super fun field trip. It's 75 minutes. You know, it's not long enough to possibly get bored.
How much of the tickets are going to be very expensive, though? I don't think high schools can go. I mean, let's be honest.
I bet they'd have a group rate. What's happening to me?
Hey, I've got to wind down the show, but let me ask, did you see Jon Stewart on that Rachel Maddow thing, or is that not interesting to you at all?
Huh? No, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Right, okay. I mean, I've been a little bit obsessive about this, and I want...
Was it on Law & Order? If it wasn't on Law & Order, then I probably didn't see it. What happened? Jon Stewart went on Rachel Maddow?
Yeah, to sort of address the criticism. You saw Bill Maher's criticism of his rally.
Oh, yeah, I did.
What did you do? What did you think of the rally?
I didn't catch it.
Mm-hmm. You know what that means. I know what that means.
What?
You didn't think it was funny?
No, I honestly didn't see it. This is what it is. When I heard that Stephen Colbert was doing a rally in D.C. called Keep Fear Alive, it just blew my mind. I was like, that's the most brilliant,
right,
amazing thing I've ever heard in my life. The other half of it, I mean, I love Jon Stewart, but I didn't really get the angle on it. And then also, it's one of those things that I didn't see it, but it just seems like all I need to do is hear that Stephen Colbert is having a huge rally in D.C. called Keep Fear Alive, and I have all the happiness from it I think I can get. You know, it's like so amazing to me.
I'll tell you something. I watched it, and it broke down that way, too. Colbert's stuff was funny because it was a joke. And
I just think he's so brilliant, and it's a perfect angle. It's like nobody can argue that it's hilarious, and that's how you change minds, you know?
Right, right. And Stewart's was off the base, and... He got criticized by Bill Maher, and sort of she denies it, but I think fairly implicitly, if not directly, by Rachel Maddow. And Stewart called up Maddow and said, let's have an interview. So she interviewed him for an hour on her show.
That's great. I mean, Jon Stewart's terrific, you know, but for me, like, the point comes across with Stephen Colbert because... It's
satire.
It kind of includes everyone, and there's unarguable points, you know, that isn't just like good guys and bad guys, but kind of include. Like, I think that change comes when things are inclusive, you know, like when you're pointing out someone stupid, but it gives them the chance to laugh at it too, you know. It's great to preach to the choir, but it's even greater to like be able to kind of change minds with humor. For me, it comes across with Colbert. But, I mean, Jon Stewart's amazing, too. You know, I just think, like...
Well, don't worry. Jon Stewart's not listening. Don't worry. Jon Stewart's not listening to this, so he doesn't...
I know he isn't, but...
Wait, no, he might be. He might be. Let me rephrase that. He might be. He might be. He could be. He probably is, actually. In fact, get back to work, John. You got a show to do. No, but you know what? It's funny that you're saying this, because, in a way, I actually believe that... It's flipped Like, Jon Stewart's going around talking about how inclusive we need to be. That if you call George Bush a war criminal, even if he's technically a war criminal, it ends the conversation. Whereas I actually think that Colbert has a much more, you know, and I don't know either one of these guys terribly well, but I've talked to them. I think Colbert's politics are much more ideological than Stewart's. It's interesting that you perceive the comedy as the opposite.
Well, I just think, listen, I'm as liberal as you can get, and I just think that Colbert...
I don't think that's true.
Colbert, what possible way?
What?
In what possible way could I not? Am I not as liberal as you can get? Hand jobs?
Oh, come on, Sarah. You're the most liberally... that in that case, you're extremely liberal in that fashion.
I know. They came off the top of my head, and if you know me, it makes no sense at all.
Absolutely not. Folks, you do not want to be on a bus with Sarah Silverman or... Oh, we're in the after show practically already. I can talk like this. I'm sorry. So you're as liberal as it gets, but... Hello? Uh-oh, the call ended. How is that supposed to... How am I supposed to have a drop call on... I wonder if it was her. She hung up on me.
Hey, what happened?
I apologize. Did you hang up on me because of the whole...
Hello?
Did you hang up on me because of the whole thing with the thing? Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
What?
Can you hear me? She hung... You can't hear me? What? She hung up on me again. How can she not hear me now? What? It's not the mic.
Hello?
Sarah, can you hear me?
What happened?
I don't know what happened. I thought you got offended by what the implication. It's just the idea of having to service anybody. I thought you got offended by that. So you're as liberal as they come, and what?
I don't remember my point, but I
think that
Colbert's angle on everything is it may be extremely liberal, of course, at its root, but I feel like it's kind of funny for everybody, you know,
right.
And so I feel like change happens more. Minds change, more that way. But what do I know? I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know.
But it just seemed like this is what I'm saying. When I heard that Colbert was doing a march in Washington that was called Keep Fear Alive, I was dying laughing. But I didn't really get the angle on John's. But I also didn't see it. I only heard, that they're happening. So,
sometimes the
title is hilarious.
But we have our headline. Huh? We have our headline.
Okay, so he goes on Maddow, and what's his point?
His point was... it was meandering a little bit, but it was a very serious interview, and, you know, that he's mad at the media and sees that having two sides to it and a right-left. I don't know. I can't summarize it quickly right now for you, but I was pretty offended by it. Go ahead. Huh? Did you?
I was going to say, Bill Maher made a great joke that wasn't insulting at all, but it was that 200,000 people showed up, whereas for Bill O'Reilly, only 100,000 people showed up.
Back,
but
yeah.
same weight, yeah.
Right. Right. I was at that Beck rally.
Pardon me?
I was at that Beck rally.
Oh, yeah, I saw that video. That was great.
Huh.
Oh, Glenn Beck. Sorry, I said Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
But it is exciting that 200,000 people showed up for this. I mean,
oh yeah, it's exciting, but I don't know what it, I don't know what it proves. It's like a huge, fish concert or Andrew Dice Clay show. But different talent. I mean, I appreciate that there's that many people who appreciate Jon Stewart and Colbert.
Yeah, and I didn't see it, but is the point this, that they had this huge audience and this incredible opportunity, and it was not prepared as well as the... Colbert's stuff was funny.
Colbert's stuff was funny because he was satirizing a Glenn Beck rally. And
Stewart, he has a built-in angle, that's why.
Right.
Yeah.
And Stewart had a little bit that was funny, you know, from a show in the way that rallies are covered. But in the end, he had a serious speech that basically said we should all come together. He had 200,000 people there. He didn't even encourage them to vote. Specifically did not encourage them to vote. And
What do you mean he told them not to vote?
He didn't say go vote, and then when they asked him about it in the press conference afterwards, he said, I'm not telling people to do anything. They should go do what moves them. And
what's wrong with that? I like that.
Because, you know, you can't sit there and rail about, the definition of a rally is to get the people, the attendees there, to do something. If you're not going to be funny, then you're going to hold a rally. Explicit in the idea of a rally is to actually ask for an ask. You know, you say, like, get psyched up, beat Doherty High, or get psyched up, go out there and sell, chocolate-covered cookie mint cookies. Or get up there and actually, you know, affect some change. This was the protest, and, you know...
Did anybody sell some chocolate chip cookie mint cookies?
Nobody's tried to sell me them. That was my point.
It sounds like from his answer that he was trying to inspire people to make the choice to vote.
No.
I guess I know what you're saying.
And
look, I mean, you know...
Maher's criticism of him...
He did more than others.
Well, I don't
know. But it was a forum
to what
that
end?
Should have been like...
To what end?
Yeah.
He did more than others to do what? I mean, I don't mean to put, you know, I'm not holding you responsible for what Jon Stewart does. But
why are you yelling at me?
You know what, Sarah? This is it. I'm going to hang up on you. I actually do have to go. But
okay, but are we eating?
Yes. But I get another 20 minutes, half hour to do. So I'll call you shortly.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Well, it was going to be a little more impromptu, but that's that. All right. So look, here's the deal, folks. The Sammy Cam is now going to be live. We're setting that up. Is it live? We're going to plug in the sound at majority.fm. You can check it out. I'm going to take your IMs at Cedar MVS or Majority FM or Sam Cedar Show, and we're going to have another 20 minutes, half hour of this podcast, or you can just turn off the thing now. You don't have to listen to the rest of this. It's up to you, folks. And please, I would appreciate if you became a member of the Majority Report. You can become a Majority Reporter or so on, so I talked about it earlier in the show. And you can find that link on majority.fm. Folks, have a great day. Tomorrow on the program, Digby. And maybe, who knows? Who knows who else I'll call? Maybe nobody else. Okay, let's have some... Bring up the music. Sort of like walks me out. Oh, the ramp. A little bit more. Okay, see you tomorrow, folks. Stick around for the post show. Was that fun? That was fun to have Sarah call in. I mean, it was a decent conversation. I've never had great conversations with Sarah on the radio because I... you know, she has her shtick, and it doesn't, you know, Sarah and I have a little bit of a history. We're friends, and it's not, you know, but it got a little racy, didn't it?
I think you should always catch her when she's just waking up.
Yes, actually, that's one of her more pleasant times. Let's go to the IMs, folks. And hey, listen, here's a little experiment. I don't know if any of you are on the Sammy Cam. If you are, tell us, give us some feedback. I'm just curious. Turn the sound down on the Sammy Cam and see if the audio stream, how much it matches up.
Somebody already said on the blog it's not matching up.
How much is the latency?
That they didn't say.
Let's see. I mean, we're talking like 5 seconds, 10 seconds, a half a second. I'd be curious. Nefer, good morning, Sam. Happy day after hard launch. I made fresh cinnamon cranberry muffins and sending one through the interwebs. Thank you. Just an FYI, your membership setup forces people to sign up using PayPal, even if they don't want to use PayPal. You can use a credit card. I know how to fix this, but you might want to look into it. I signed up, of course. No, you can. Do you have to sign up for PayPal? Can't you just use a credit card? Isn't there a button underneath?
That I don't know.
I think there's a click right underneath. But you know the car battery jumper cables that we use for torture are made in America. There you go. bye. Oh, okay. That was weird. Oh, Matthew. Okay. Okajik. Sorry, I didn't know the audio wasn't live on the cam. Never mind. 5 to 7 second latency. Yeah, the audio is not going to come on the cam until the probably the second part of the show. 5 to 7 second latency.
That's significant.
That's significant.
Yeah, we can talk to Kyle, see if there's a way
around. Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting theory. G-Beer, having some trouble with the stream, the audio stream, still? I'm happy now. The banks should take 30% hit on every mortgage before the crash in this country. It's compromised since we've lost 50, 60% of its value. We reflect on this, Sam, other than the fact that it will never happen. I'm a Cedarista. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Wow. Ooh. Ooh.
What's happening to my chauffeur?
It takes a couple seconds.
I don't like the delay on that chauffeur. We're going to have to redo it. Chauffeur. Thank you, Happy Now. That's very, 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 very generous of you. I think, you know, there was a plan floated, not by anybody in our government, of course, where the government would back mortgages if the banks essentially lopped off 30, 40% of the mortgage. And that it would be worthwhile for the banks because they would have a guaranteed, rock-solid loan, even though they're taking like a haircut. It would be worth it to them to have a guaranteed, rock-solid loan. Because the principal would be knocked down, homeowners would have a better chance of selling their home or of paying off the loan. And the U.S. government would probably not be on the hook for as much as it's been on the hook at this point. Even though it's not on the hook, it jumped on the hook. That would be a great plan. But, of course, that would be akin to socialism. That would be like giving banks money. Oh. Oh. Sugar. Hi. Hey, Sam. Have you been watching Glenn Beck out all this week? He's been telling his audience to sell unused junk in their house and invest in food storage. Is there any FCC limit on a blatant food swindle? Beck recently picked up a sponsor called Survivalist Food Storage Backpacks. Well, look, you know, there's nothing wrong with selling the junk in your house or getting rid of it. Like, look at it this way. He's telling you to unclutter your lives and then just add a little bit of freeze-dried food. I don't think it's a bad idea to have a couple of days' worth of freeze-dried food supply in your house. Power goes out. You know, upstate, last year, the power was out in Worcester, in Massachusetts. The power was out for a week because our infrastructure is crumbling. But, yes, Glenn Beck is, you know, he's got a shtick, and he's shticking with it. Klug, jetpack engage, car battery, danger, testicle torture. Audio slightly light, more dBs. Tell the real Sarah, bizarre, bizarre Yiddish. Bizarre, bizarre. Audio slightly light today. Were you a little bit light? You a little bit?
We were a little bit hot at the beginning. We're working with a brand new fancy broadcast computer.
Right,
so
we're
tweaking it.
We're tweaking it. Your IM conversation will be so... Oh, okay. Welcome back. Thank you, Brett. Pluger. Missed opportunity. Talk to Sarah Silverman's body function is definitely premium content. Pluger says the audio stream is only 2 to 3 seconds behind at most. This may be one of those things like how far away are you from the...
Internet.
From the server.
Yeah.
One undone bird. Sam, so happy to have you back. Love to hear you articulate all the points that I'm unable to. Sign up for the membership. Put my name in the pot for a mug, please. Write it down. Who's got the list? Who's got the list? He is extremely smart. That's the way you do this. Undone bird. Mug. Those are going to go fast. I thought it was a rally to suggest that people think instead of reacting in a knee-jerk way. What's so hard to understand about that? Says Matt Duane. Well, it was a rally to ask people to think instead of reacting in a knee-jerk way. I guess. I didn't necessarily hear that ask, but what is knee-jerk about anybody attending a rally? In other words, if you're criticizing people who show up at rallies, let's say, I mean, like, where is the knee-jerk here? I mean, if Bush is a technical war criminal, can you get to that conclusion in a knee-jerk fashion? I just don't buy it. I'm sorry. I don't know even what that means. People should think and not act. Who's acting knee-jerk? Who's acting knee-jerk? It's been 2 years since the Bush administration's been out of business. They were there for 8 years. Where's the knee-jerk? I don't even know what that means. There's no thinking in this? Turney? What was that? What's that guy's name? Turley. Jonathan Turley is a knee-jerk law professor. Glenn Greenwald, knee-jerk. In fact, all the people who say that George Bush is a war criminal are probably, not all the people, all the people I read, most of the people I read, are some of the most thoughtful people I've ever read, frankly. I just don't buy it. That's what's so hard to understand about that. Smitty, 1241, says it's matching up perfectly. Oh, but maybe the sound took a little while to catch up. Wait, no. That wouldn't make any sense.
What is this, with Ustream?
No, well, you know what Smitty is talking about. He's listening to the sound via Ustream.
Right now, we've got the audio coming off the Ustream.
Right, now, yes. Yeah. Filmfest, listening to live stream, don't see the video portion. Found it, 2 second delay. 2 second delay. Now he's in New York. I ordered the WTF blend, but use your coupon code. Sweet, Chris. I haven't heard from Marin, but somebody emailed me and said, like, that fake show would be awesome. That fake podcast. We've got to do it.
Yeah.
Like, and it's got to be like on a really serious news day. You know what I mean? Like, where it's got to, like, I got to open up, like, folks, I know that Congress has passed this law where we're all going to be in internment camps. I'm sorry. I have to deal with Mark Maron's podcast. And then we can. Svayaf, hey, I've signed up. Dude, thank you very much. I appreciate it. What do you think about Oberman's special comment? You know what? I had that out. I was going to talk about it. Randy seemed to side with Koppel yesterday, but I think Olbermann had it just right. I'm going to go into that. I'm going to dig into that. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. I haven't quite figured out how to do the show yet, but I don't understand. You know, like doing a three-hour radio show was 140 minutes. We're doing 140 minutes. And I don't have enough time, and we don't have, well, that's the commercials. I don't have enough time. I'm going to have like multiple podcasts, or maybe we'll just do some stuff for YouTube or something like that. I don't know. Daddy Zing, it's more like 2 seconds difference, camera ahead of audio stream. What? Now, when I say audio stream, I'm talking about the stream that you've been listening to all day, and then the video is obviously separate, not the video, not the audio that's coming out of the video. You gotta mute the video. That's interesting. How come no one ever mentioned that O'Donnell got 40% of the vote in Delaware? Not a crazy state. That's higher than Senate loser got in 16 states. That's a good point. My guess would be that Maryland, Vermont, New Hampshire, Ohio, Louisiana, Alabama, Arizona, Georgia, Indiana, Kansas, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Carolina, okay, and New York. Okay, well, put New York aside for a second. Most of those losses were, I think, Democrats were losing in those situations. And you have to remember that the electorate that came out was 10% more Republican. So I imagine that those numbers broke that way in Maryland as well. In Delaware. And so you have 30% of the Republican Party that is going to, that still believes George Bush is a hero. So, you know, the idea that in this election, Republicans would show even more fealty just to their Republican candidate, it's not that surprising. Because you have to remember that number, and it could very well be in that state that there's even more Republicans. So, I don't know. I'm a little bit surprised that it was only a 20% victory. But it's not as shocking when you start to do like the cross tabs. 444. The food storage stuff is part of Mormon ideology. They're supposed to have 1 year supply of food at all times. That's why Mormons have an extra refrigerator in the garage. Did not know that. My uncle, aunt and uncle, Jews, extra refrigerator in the garage too. But that's for like tab. It's like for Fresca. Have a Fresca fridge. Cat Wayne, so many streaming choices. Is there a particular one you prefer folks to use? By the way, I'm loving the timely podcast. Yesterday was slow because we had a new computer. Yeah. But today it's going to be even quicker because we have a new computer. Theoretically. We don't care which one you use. I mean, use the whichever one. You know, I think audio is easier to listen to and hop on for the video during the post-show chat. We're probably not going to have the video during the regular show.
Yeah, most of our attention's right now going towards getting the audio stream
Correct. Solid,
so that'll be the most reliable one for now.
Right. And she's growing fond of Westbite. You hear that, Dorsey? Started an internet meme. Kevin Semicolon, do we get something special if we cancel our Marin subscriptions to pay for the CETIP subscription? No, that's not nice. That's not nice. Although it would, you probably get whatever you get, it would probably come from Aaron. Todd Slater, I'm getting the Ustream audio maybe 2 seconds at the most before the iTunes audio. Interesting. It depends on how you access the audio.
That makes sense.
If you get it through iTunes, I bet you the video comes first. If you get it directly through an MP3 stream or the player on the site, it's interesting. I bet you we could configure the player. This could be interesting. By the way, I signed up for membership. What are my swag choices? We'll have a video, but let's do this right, people. Not bad. I think this is right. How am I? Am I on camera?
Yeah, you're good.
This is a wonderful Majorda Report travel mouse pad. It works on your desk where you're locally based. I have it here. Oh, in fact, I'm using one right now. Wow! I've never seen my mouse be so responsive. This is pretty impressive. And I love the oval shape. Much, much more convenient than a square shape. But darn it, I wish I could bring my mouse pad with me because I've got to run off to that business trip in Tuscaloosa. Oh, wait a second. Huh. The incredible thinness of this mouth pad allows it to be rolled up just like that and put into your pocket. Wow, that's convenient. Huh. And then I can take it out. I've got to my hotel. No, thank you, miss. I have my own mouse pad. And it features one of the 14 different variations on the Air America logo that I went through in 6 years. We also have a for a very limited time only Majorda Report white trucker hat. I guess we could order more of these. I mean, it's not like we could even put the Air America logo on it. Air America Majorda Report mug. Huh? Soup, soup. And whoa, what's this? A Majorda Report pen with a lanyard. I can never find my pens. Oh, but wait a second. I've got one right here. I had it on my neck the whole time. Let me write something down. Uh-oh. These have been sitting around for quite a while. Ah, now they work. They still work. Just let me just screw that on right there. Oh, do you need to borrow a pen? I'm going to need that back. Nobody walking off with my pen. And once the pen runs out, you can use it to hide your stash. See that? It comes right apart. You can hide your stash right there, Dorsey. You can put your one hitter in that.
That would fit.
Let's see. And Crane are flying. The mic sounds pretty good today. Less pops and less overdriven. About 5 second delay. Central Massachusetts. Also, Worcester power outage was 2 years ago due to a ridiculous ice storm out here. Dude from Worcester. Yes, I remember that. The ice storm also hit upstate New York. Oh, wait, write this down. Wait a second. Hey, what am I doing? Huh. Video square at the top of web. I don't know what this is. Klug is giving me some code. Some code that's going to end up, like, crashing the blog.
Would not be the first time.
Klug, send me... What the frick? What just happened? That was weird. I copied it. And it's not... Klug, will you send me that in a... Klug, will you send me that in a an email? Because I can't get that. Oh, wait, the video square and the chat. Yeah, I'm not sure about the chat. I'm not sure if we're going to do the chat. We'll see. That's a little bit bandwidthy. I really like having the vid during the regular show. Also, the signal and audio stream is strong. Good tests. So windy mouse pads also make a great trivets, hot pads in the kitchen. All right, if you say so. Yes, I will sign swag items. Of course I will. Of course, are you kidding? If they're signable. Live stream on webpage majorda.fm is not giving anything. But it is working in iTunes now. That was just 5 minutes ago. It was less on my iPhone than the computer. Delay break up the podcast. Sugar, second, the audio sounds great today. I hear a hum from the computer, but great overall. Yeah, that'll happen. Well, no. One done bird, send me an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com. Majorityreporters@gmail.com with addresses and stuff like that. Matt Duane, I get what you're saying, and I agree Bush is a war criminal, but how can anything good come of pursuing it? Well, let me put it this way. Did bad things come from pursuing the war crimes of the Nazis? Do bad things come from pursuing Pinochet? What good could come from it? It would send a message to future presidents of this country that you cannot torture. That would be a good thing, I think. It would send a message that, you know, if you're going to lie yourself into a war, you better watch out because you could have some responsibility for it. It doesn't matter if the conservatives disagree with the point. You set up a trial. You put them on trial. You investigate it. I think that's what Obama was saying when he didn't pursue it when he came to power. Look, what good came of impeaching Bill Clinton? Zero. Over nothing. The conservatives did it. 60% of the country thought it was ridiculous. They still did it. But I do think there is a material difference between whether or not I want my presidents in the future to feel that they can get blowjobs from people with impunity versus they can commit war crimes with impunity. I do think there's a value difference there. And I'm sorry if it's illiberal of me or unmeasured of me to make that value judgment. Let's see. Justice would have Bush, Cheney, etc. hung in front of a firing squad. Peace and moving toward the future probably goes another direction. Well, no, I don't think you need to hang them. I don't need to, you know. I don't even know if you need to throw them in jail. I honestly don't. I think you need to mar their reputation officially. So that George Bush can't come out with a book of lies in, you know, that reformation process. So that really that book wouldn't have any effect on the future. Pardon them. Pardon them after the fact. Or not pardon them. Commute their sentences. Commute their sentences. But they must be held to account for future generations. I don't care about George Bush in a jail. Jesus, who cares? See, Daddy, I got to go to jail. I mean, the guy's such a retard. Who cares? Dick Cheney, look at him. You see that picture of him on the New York Times? I don't care. I don't care about him one way or another. I don't care if he suffers or he doesn't suffer. But if we're talking about the value of the country, it makes a difference. Because you don't get this bank bailout unless you have the savings and loans, unless you have that whatever, I can't remember what it was now, the thing in the mid-'80s, the homestead, it's just on and on and on. You only get these things because they've happened in the past and there's been no cost associated with them. You get lying us into a war in Iraq because you had Iran-Contra. And you had Iran-Contra because you had the Gulf of Tonkin. I mean, that's why these things repeat themselves. That's the value of it. Now, you tell me what the downside is. It's going to tear the country apart. We're not going to get anything done. We're not going to address the problems that are facing this country. Is that the downside of this? You mean as opposed to what's going on right now? I mean, honestly, like what would have been the difference in the worst case scenario of anybody who said we shouldn't have pursued these things, what would have been the difference? It would have been really hard to get Rand Paul to the table and what? Well, we could have lost the Senate and wouldn't be able to move forward on the anointment of Joe Lieberman as king of decision maker. Yeah, Joe Lieberman would have lost stature. Honestly, what would have been the price that had been paid? That's what you should be answering, Matt Duane. Not me having to justify whether or not it would be healthy or unhealthy to follow the law. Smitty, it's matching up perfectly. Oh, we haven't been there. SpayF, I'm able to stream on my iTouch with my Wi-Fi, but my Droid does not seem to recognize the file, so I can take the show on the road. Dude, get an iPhone. I don't know what to tell you. We'll figure out a Droid thing, right? There's going to be, maybe Stitchers would do that, or is that just a podcast distribution? I got to look into that. Will you look into Stitchers? And we need a Droid app, right? We need to be on the Zune marketplace. I think Kyle's looking into that. Daddy Singh, you need a producer young in year to get to the next segment. Yeah, you may be right about that. How about confinement house arrest on the ranch? Just add some horses and leave no brush to clear. Todd Slater, thanks for the swag demo. I'll take the trucker hat, of course. Definitely signed. Todd Slater, trucker hat. There's a hum like something not grounded. That's possible, too. Oh, let me take this out. All right. That's it. Okay, folks. We'll see you tomorrow with Digby. Music outro, please.